Smike.
God.
As he turns his phone off.
Have you heard my new ringtone?
No, what
is
it?
It's kind of lame, but...
But I'm going to play it for you.
I'll play it for you.
I just like, unlocked my phone and then didn't do anything with the volume. I don't know why I did that. Play your new ringtone, Smike. Did you buy it? Did you text a number to get it?
Why isn't that working?
I'm afraid that I've forgotten how to do podcasting. I'm rusty.
Just call me. It's too much work to get it to play.
Ringing now.
You sure you're calling me?
Huh. Is that a specific song?
Yeah. You don't recognize that?
It sounds familiar.
It's Moon Patrol. Moon Patrol?
Is that like an Atari game?
It was an arcade game.
Yeah, when you were going to the arcades.
Oh my god.
Come on, when I was going to the arcades, all the games cost 75 cents.
Are we recording now?
Yes.
You know where you really never played Moon Patrol? You are missing out, man.
Am I, though?
That is a classic.
Yeah, but sometimes classics should stay classics.
It's... No, man. Moon Patrol is up there. It's, you know, one of the...
Well, okay, walk me through. What does Moon Patrol look like?
Well, first, you're in a buggy, presumably on the moon, on... some sort of patrol.
Oh my driving god, the along. Title makes so much sense.
You're driving along and you're patrolling
the moon.
The moon.
Right.
In a buggy. Moon. I don't know which moon it is, but it's the moon.
That's a valid point.
And you got this buggy and you have these holes that you have to jump over because your moon buggy can jump.
Like just vertically jump?
It's a side scrolling game.
Okay.
Okay.
Does it have, like, a springboard on the bottom? Or just go boom?
Sure. I don't know. The wheels are... They have hydraulics, okay?
Why does it come back down?
It's on the moon.
Yeah, but gravity, like, if you
there
propel yourself upwards...
There is gravity on the moon,
I know, but
moon,
if you propel yourself upwards too much, wouldn't you just keep going?
Yeah, but they're not propelling... They've got it all calculated, Mike.
Okay.
The scientists who designed this buggy knew what the hell they were doing.
Why did they not come up with a way to fly on the moon so that you wouldn't have to jump over pits?
Because there's no atmosphere?
I have no comeback for that.
How are you going to maneuver without atmosphere, Mike?
I don't know. Just
you can't have a plane if there's
music.
No air for the plane. See?
You play some music
they
and then
you thought of
atmosphere.
Everything
Damn
with
it.
This game.
I missed out on this game.
So the big thing is the game's combining a bunch of different things. It's side-scrolling.
Okay.
You can move... forward in an extent because you're always constantly driving forward.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those games where it keeps going. You can't
just left
stop.
To right, left to right, no stopping.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can accelerate, which means you're just moving forward on the screen a bit.
Sure.
You can jump and you can shoot.
Oh,
and when
buggy's
you shoot,
got a gun.
Your buggy's got a gun. Doesn't have just one gun. It's got two guns.
Okay. Okay.
One on the
Whoa.
Front.
Okay.
All right. So you're shooting forward.
All right.
One up on your roof. So you're shooting upward.
Up. What are you shooting at?
Whatever the hell's in your way. Like, sometimes a rock comes by that you gotta shoot.
What?
Sometimes a rock. I mean, you're driving along. There's a rock in your way. You can shoot the rock.
Okay, it's not coming at you. It's just
no,
there.
No,
you're
just
coming
there.
At it.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. So
and
the rock is minding its own business, and you.
The rock is in your way.
You're a rockicidal maniac in this weirdly armored.
They're not
armed.
They're
buggy.
Not sentient rocks.
How
Mike?
Do you know? You established this could be a different moon, Smike. Maybe it contains life.
All right. Well, maybe they're sentient, but they're still going to kill you. You can jump over the rocks if you want. Okay, does that make you happier?
Yeah.
All right, you can jump over the
gun.
Rocks too.
Are there aliens?
Yes.
Well, that changes everything.
There are aliens. And they come at you in a variety of things. They come at you in UFOs or flying up above, hence why you have the gun that shoots upwards.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And they can be on the ground in like little tanks. They've got their own buggy tank.
They've
things.
Also figured out this technology. This
they,
moon buggy technology.
I don't
technology.
Know. They haven't because they're not really moving very fast.
Well,
I don't see
tank.
Them jump. So
okay.
But they're bad.
Should we introduce ourselves?
Sure.
Hi, welcome to Buddies in Space podcast number 7.
Number 7, I am S. Michael Smith.
And I'm M. Eichel Karasi. We are the On Hiatus improv duo, Buddies in Space.
Who's morphing into the podcasting duo, Buddies in Space.
Oh, it's so much easier.
It's fun. I like it. Yeah. I like it.
And again, no pants. So go on.
Yes. And then the once in a while, when it starts throwing curveballs at you in control. Sometimes you get a guy who comes up from behind you.
Oh!
And you're like, what? I don't have a gun back there. So what do I don't you have do? A tail gunner. That's a completely different game.
What do you do?
The scientists didn't think of this.
Well, I guess they didn't figure everything.
They figured that the buggy could outrun whatever was chasing it. But this thing is like, it keeps pace with you. And then when it's ready, boom, it takes off like a missile and runs into you.
So you have to jump over it as it tries to go by?
You have to jump over it and then shoot it as you're coming down. Otherwise, it'll stop and then you'll run into it that way.
The forward-facing gun can be aimed?
No, it can't.
So you gotta land and then shoot right away.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound that complicated.
It is. Okay. You know, with all the other 80s games, the timing is...
Twitch
control. It's very Twitch control-y.
Gotcha. All right.
But it's everything classic, and I'm disappointed that you did not recognize the music.
Well, I apologize for letting, obviously, down the street geek cred that you were aiming to give me.
I almost went with Xevious, but that sound is a bit more annoying. It's like, it's very tinkly.
Yeah, there's a lot of tinkly.
High-pitched.
High treble kind of stuff.
Yeah. But you recognize Xevious.
Maybe.
Oh, come on!
Look around the room. What video games are prominently featured?
Okay.
That's 97. Final Fantasy VII was 1997. I will never
forget that. But Xevious?
I've played it. I'm not going to...
So you've played... Okay. You have played it.
It was a Starship game, right?
Hmm?
It was a Starship game?
It was a vertical scrolling.
Yeah, your Starship.
It was like a Raiden sort of game.
Yeah. Also okay. A Starship game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not really a Starship. I mean, you're...
Oh, are you like a atmosphere?
You're defending the Earth from aliens, Mike.
Are they Xevious
aliens? Yes, they are, Mike. This is another classic game.
Yep, classic what year?
I don't know, like 80... something...
Okay, I was...
82, 83? I don't know.
I would have been one or two at the time.
I'm not going to Google this.
So, yeah.
Still, classic. So, rumor has it that you're a dad.
I will use this opportunity to officially come out and confirm
that
I am a father.
All right. Well, congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Does it bother you? Does it seem weird when you think about it that this and every other thing that features you in some sort of recorded media, especially the stuff that you're putting out on the internet, which will never go away, mm-hmm. is someday almost certainly going to be seen, viewed, or listened to by your son?
I've thought about that, and no. But all the porn I've done, that'll need to get taken down.
Good luck with that.
No, I don't know.
That's like a thing now, because everything you do, everything you say, you're kind of saying it to your son whenever it's recorded.
I curse on the video camera on occasion.
Are you like kind of censoring yourself now because you don't want to? Because honestly, I am.
Not really.
Because I'm thinking, oh, Mike's kid's going to hear this and I don't want to.
No, by the time they're finding my podcast, they already know I curse. I'm seriously. Like, don't fucking worry about it, man. Screw that shit. Cock balls.
All right. You heard it from him first, Simon.
No, I have a whole theory about, like, I use profanity in my training at work. Like, I have a whole theory about, like, the proper usage of profanity. So, I don't... I'm gonna...
Well, you're kind of the Glengarry Glen Ross school of motivation.
Yeah. No, not at all, actually. No, but I've, like, done, like, my own private non-empirical studies and found that when I do a class without profanity, I have a harder time getting people to listen to the points that I'm making.
But so, you use calculated profanity.
I use calculated often... humorous profanity. Would you like an example?
You're very fucking careful when to insert profanity.
I would say that I am motherfucking precise with my profanity. I will give you an example or may not have done should my corporate overlords listen, but this may or may not have been used in a training. I will not confirm that. It could be hypothetical. I was illustrating why you should always use the full phone number. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
You choking?
A bit.
Do you want me to...
No, Mike, get your hands off me.
No, Mike, I'm really good at patting on the back. Not... You have no idea.
Ow. Stop hitting me, damn it.
Don't you feel better? Do you need a burp?
You can let go of my hand now.
Do you need a burp?
Please let go of my hand. Let go of my hand, Mike.
Good smike.
Okay, this is creepy.
Someone needs a diaper change. I was illustrating to maybe a class, maybe not, that you need to write out the full number and not just the extension, right? You know, the four digits, like the actual full number in a case.
Okay.
For auditing purposes. And I was like, yeah, you only need this information. You don't need to put, you know, like if the client's swapping numbers, you don't need to put why they're swapping numbers, right? And then I said, because it could be that the extension matches the guy made a deal or made a promise to his dying grandfather that he would never have a phone number that ended in 8863 or 7763 because that was the year and day, July 7th, 1863, that General Custer raped his fucking grandmother. We don't need to fucking know that, do we? And then the whole class laughs, and then I've made my point, and they all have just agreed and laughed. By laughing, they have given consensus to my point.
General Custer?
I just recently watched that angry video game nerd.
Yeah, okay. Because I was thinking, my mind went there too, Mike.
Yeah.
My mind went there too.
So I'm totally seeing like a pixelated Pocahontas being raped by a creepy General Custer. There was a lot of porn games on the Atari. I had no fucking clue.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Well, there are porn games now.
No. There were like porn games that no one, like, they could just make them and sell them without.
This was the first game system that was like widely available.
And they didn't have.
They didn't know. Nobody knew what they were doing
right.
at the time.
The copyright and the approval process, ET.
Yeah. I mean, before this, you had like crap like the Telestar games, mm-hmm. which was like the Pong stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had one of those systems that was, it had a couple of Pong games, had like a single player one. And
did you have to put it on the screen of your television? My mom always tells me about.
Screen of your
television? Yeah, the original Pong, Pong. Like, all I did was Pong. You like put it on the screen.
No. I know what you're talking about. They did that if you wanted to have color in the game.
Oh.
Because all of the graphics were just black and white.
Right.
So if you wanted like part of the screen to be one color, like if you wanted to be like a tennis game, I think they had them like this. Like
okay.
It was like a green overlay with, you know, like one section wider. So I don't know, but it made it look like a tennis court.
So it was just a static colored screen.
Yeah, it was just like a yeah.
My mom's like, oh, she totally misrepresented what this product was. Damn you, mother!
Yeah, Vectrex did that too. If you remember Vectrex, which
I don't remember Vectrex because it's before my time. But I do have a video game book, so
yeah, Vectrex was significant in that was a home
console
with its own screen and it used vector graphics.
I know.
You do?
Yeah, I can picture it in my head.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in that book.
But not fucking Moon Patrol. All right. I see how this is going.
What?
Anyway, the one I had also had a gun on it.
Oh, like a little mounted gun?
No, it was like a...
Oh, like an actual light
gun? Like an actual gun. And it was...
it came with a Beretta. And you just shot people.
It was more like a Colt, I think. but no, it was like it had like a target game on it where you... It was a light gun.
Yeah, that's what I asked. Yeah, it's a light gun, yeah.
But the thing is, you mentioned that. It looked like a real gun.
Yeah, because back then...
Like, toy guns, the more you can make that look like a real gun...
The better it sold.
Yeah.
Yeah, until cops started shooting kids.
Yeah, well...
Then everything became
I guess I got lucky on that one.
Yeah, you were in the South, too. You weren't really in the South for a lot of your childhood, were you?
I was in the South for about 10 years.
Yeah, all right. Certainly, you know, good getting shot by cop time period.
Yeah, but not when you're 10 and living out in the country.
Yeah, everyone's got real guns.
I mean, they'd be surprised if I didn't have a real gun back then.
I'm going to shoot you because you don't have a gun, kid. I'm doing you a favor. You're not ready
for
this world.
That'll learn you.
Oh, I'll learn you great, eh? Now we're in Canada.
What? I grew up down there. I can't even do a southern accent now. Oh, my God. I've been married to a Canadian for too long.
Yeah, you have. Oh, it's so funny. We were in Canada and her accent started coming out. She was getting so mad, too, when we were pointing it out.
She couldn't not
do it. And then the more we pointed out, the angrier she got. So the more we pointed it out, because it was like ribbing her. Yeah, being a dad's cool.
All right.
I mean, he doesn't do much. Like, I get excited over changing diapers and burping because it's like, oh, it's...
So that's still, like, kind of cool and different. Or is it like, are you getting to the point where, like, this actually sucks?
No, it's great. For some reason...
It's poop.
Again, it doesn't smell yet because he's breastfed. So it just smells like a little sweet. It's still gross looking. It's like he's just constantly shitting mustard. Like, but good organic whole grain mustard. I mean, my kid is not shit fucking Gouldens. All right.
Like a, all right.
Like a.
Like a honey Dijon.
Yeah, but like with whole grain seed in it. You know what I'm saying? They always.
I will never look at mustard the same way again.
You'll never eat it again. Every time we go to, like, any medical professional who's in the hospital and the pediatricians, they always, like, they have this. I don't know if it's a thing, like, in the medical profession, like, you have to deliver it the same way. But they all ask, so is your son, or is he pooping yellow? They always do this thing with their mouth. They're like, that's seedy mustard yellow. They always, like, they're, like, looking apologetic. And I'm like, is it because you're ruining mustard for me? Why do you all make the same face? I don't understand.
Because, you know, normal people don't talk about poop.
No, normal people who don't talk about poop until they're parents. And then talk about a lot. Like, I will text my wife and be like, oh, how many times did he poop today? So I want to know what I'm coming home to. If that kid hasn't taken a shit all day, oh, man, he's going to be miserable.
You know, even if you don't have kids, as you get older, that becomes a more common topic of conversation.
I had a bowel movement today. Good job. Good for you.
Just warning you there.
I had a fiber addiction when I was younger.
Did you? What?
Yeah, I just was obsessed with getting enough fiber.
Well, so you like hoarded celery? What?
I would just go at them at a young age, long before I should have needed to worry about
like
that.
Did you just get a handful of grass and go to town on it?
No, but I'd be like, oh, I need to have like this high fiber food like X number of times throughout the day. Or I'd be like counting. I would count the percentage of fiber I'd be getting in the day.
So you're like all over like mini wheats, right?
Oh, shit, yeah. Oh, the shredded wheat stuff? That's easy. Yeah. I stopped short of Metamucil. It was like, okay, I know I don't need to go that far. But
did something trigger this?
I was a weird kid.
Okay.
I guess.
But it wasn't like you had like, you know, a long string of terrible...
It's time I talked about the horrible teasing I received at the hands of the other children who all ate more fiber than I did. Yes. No, I have no idea why.
But you're pretty much past that now.
Yeah, I don't get nearly enough fiber anymore. I eat like shit. I just gave a bunch of blood today, so I'm looking forward to, like, the inevitable. Well, your pre-hypertension.
You, like, donated blood, or you had
blood
samples
work.
Taken?
Okay. Yeah, because my doctor retired, and I finally found a new doctor. And I was like, yeah, I was really severely vitamin D deficient before, and now I've been taking, you know, supplements. Can we check that again? So, but I'm waiting for the, like, well, you know, it's been like a year or two since you last had blood work, and, oh, your cholesterol's really high, your blood pressure's too high, this, that, and the other thing. You're basically undead at this point.
Nice. See, that's why I'm afraid. I need to have that done. I haven't had blood work done.
Ever.
I'm not sure.
Do you have a doctor?
I think so.
So you don't have a doctor if you can't, like, firmly answer.
No, we go to this, I probably shouldn't name it, but there's this place that I had been going for doctor scene stuff. and I had a doctor that I saw at least maybe once or twice, but they keep changing the people who work there. The doctor left and then she was replaced by somebody else. And
Mike,
said,
was this an
oh, this
STD
is your
clinic?
New doctor. And then a year later, they're like, oh, you know what? That doctor's not here anymore. I guess this is your new doctor. And this has happened like 3 or 4 times.
Okay, that would be confusing.
So I don't, I think I have a doctor, but I have not.
When was the last time someone other than your wife or you has handled your balls?
Handled my balls?
Yes. That's, I think, the best way to delve into this question.
That was a few years ago.
See, you need a doctor. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a few years ago. I actually thought I had a hernia back then.
Oh, really?
I think that was when you weren't around. That was
in New York?
Yeah, you were in New York.
So it was like 08 to 11?
But yeah, I had it was awful. I had like these like groinal pains. That was
you're gonna
awful.
Talk about poop for a second.
No, no, no. I'm not going back to that one, Mike. I'm not going back to the poop.
That
talk.
Ship has sailed.
That ship has.
So you just be like walking and
down the drain. slowly. Walking hurt. I mean, like, I couldn't walk for...
Yeah, but to be fair, you have hurt yourself, and the number of times I've known you that you've hurt yourself and walking was painful.
Yeah, but when you hurt yourself in your groin, that becomes a big problem. I mean, like, so hurting my knee is one thing. I had a bad sprained ankle. I mean, you understand that. It's like, yeah, that'll be okay.
Localized, and it's certain things
to it. Yeah, but when it's there, you know, like, this is not good.
something in this region has to be is done. Not right.
Yeah.
So did you get it figured out?
I went to this guy. I went to, like, three different doctors.
Okay.
And they each told me various things. And I finally got to one who was, like, who could have done a... some kind of surgery for me.
Whoa.
If it turned out that I had a hernia.
Okay.
And this is a time when I was in a lot of pain down there.
Okay. So something that invasive was not that scary to you at that point.
Yeah. And he did a test where he...
It's Mike, my children are going to listen to this podcast down the road. No, go on.
He put his finger down there and...
Did he do some taint pushing?
Pushed really hard. And it was one of the most painful things I have ever endured.
Did you do the gritted, oh!
It was awful. It was, wow.
Did you cry?
I might have.
Tear up? Involuntary.
I probably did.
Hey,
probably
but the pain's
did.
That bad.
But he determined that it was probably going to be okay without surgery.
It would have been great until I just shoved up there.
Yeah, if he had got his, if he'd actually managed to get it up there another inch, I think I would have been a candidate.
Not to belittle your pain, but have I ever told you the hernia cook story?
Hernia cook story?
Yeah.
No. This is not something that happened to you then?
No. This is so, God, what was it? I was still in college. One summer I worked at this...
I'm okay now, by the way. Thank you for asking.
Well, this was a Schadenfreude thing. Because when you hear this story, no matter... Even if you're still in problem, you would be feeling better about it.
It turned, I just needed some rest and to stop using the... I think it was the...
Elliptical?
The elliptical.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because the way... Yeah, I could see that. I've actually had very slight groin pain from like overdoing the elliptical back in the day. Well, I'm glad
but
you're okay.
Anyway, thank you. Please continue with your... Cook hernia story or herniated cook.
Right. We're going to pizza place, and I worked with this guy. I've long since forgotten his name. Real like upstate New Yorker, you know.
What does that even mean?
You know, he looked like an upstate New Yorker.
You mean not Western New Yorker, but like upstate, like Westchester, like, Albany, up there?
No. Westchester's not upstate. I'm talking like central to Western New York, like.
Because that's there's a distinction here. Because
okay, his teeth weren't
great.
He was weirdly skinny. His hair was falling out in weird places. He was not a well-kempt gentleman. Salt of the earth, great guy.
So,
great stories.
Like a Midwesterner.
No, it's a I watched The Winter's Bone or Winter's Bone or whatever, and it explained so much. All the meth addiction and weird stuff like explained so much about what I grew up around in a certain undisclosed small town. Where I lived on the top of a mountain.
So this guy looked like a meth addict.
No, not exactly.
All right, I'm trying to pinpoint this.
Next time we're out, I'll be like, he looked like that guy. And I'll be like, oh,
well, that's not going to help the listeners right now, Mike.
Well, I can't help them because they get it already. You're the only one struggling here. I don't hear them complaining. Anyway, he had really funny stories. And one of... But
skinny guy.
Skinny guy, teeth not so great, you know. But he was a cook, and he was pretty good, and he was really good cooking one-handed.
Uh-huh.
Because of the stereotype he was in, he didn't ever get any insurance, for that matter. And he had a really bad hernia, to the point where his lower intestine, he was supposed to wear a special apparatus to keep everything in.
Apparatus. Like never good sling. When you have to wear an apparatus.
Yeah, it's an apparatus
That's a phrase that... Yeah, nobody should say, sir, you're going to have to wear an apparatus.
It's medical phraseology no one wants to hear. But it was to keep shit in.
prosthetic sounds better than apparatus, even.
But I don't think it was. I think it was apparatus.
I know what the difference is. Apparatus is much worse, much more serious.
The only thing worse would be like orthodonta.
I picture like straps.
Yeah, and, I think from what I gathered,
and plates and God knows what.
Not plates, it's just a lot of straps and sling apparatus.
Yeah.
Anyway, he would take his hand when it was really bad. His hernia was threatening to drop his internal organs. And he would jam it, like his pants would be on, but he'd jam it up in, basically what the doctor did to you, but like further in. And he'd cook with his other hand. And I would just watch him.
God.
And be like, what is the deal? And then he told me, I was like, wow.
So that's horrifying.
In so many ways. Not the least of which is the fact that people ate the food he cooked.
Well, you said he was a good cook.
He was a good cook. I think, as far as I noticed, that hand never actually touched the food. But still, if I brought you, I mean, just, you're at a restaurant.
If there were ever a case for Obamacare, that is it.
Well, there you go. Maybe they found him. But just imagine you're at a restaurant, a decent Italian restaurant, and I were to bring you food and be like, here you are. Here is your lasagna. By the way, the gentleman who cooked this, very, very good, cooked with one hand while the other hand was inserted, holding things into his hernia. Would that not detract from the meal?
I don't know. I might stand up and applaud. I would be so impressed at his commitment to preparing a meal.
I was impressed, but looking back, that was probably a health code issue.
It probably was.
Waiting to happen. But he was a good guy, so whatever. So rumor has it that you may be a new homeowner.
This is true.
Okay.
I am already a homeowner.
I said a new homeowner.
Okay. It's not a new home. It's a new to me home.
But that's all that means.
Okay.
I did not say you are the owner of a new home.
That was a bit vague.
I apologize.
A new home owner.
A new homeowner is how I said right. it.
The truth of the matter is I'm going to be very soon in possession of two houses.
Oh, right.
Or does the bank technically own that? I don't know.
Well, you own the house you're in now, fully.
Yes.
So, I mean, really, you're going to own like 1.5 houses. You and the bank are playing splitsies.
Okay. Is that how I don't know.
No, you claim ownership of the house. You declare, I own this house.
It can be S. Michael Two Houses Smith.
Oh, there's Smikey Two Houses. He's so bourgeois. He's got two houses.
We will hope to sell the old house.
I would hope so.
Some point. It's got very land. Very soon.
It's got land like in an area where land is a real rarity.
Yeah, in Penfield.
In Penfield, yeah.
Like 3 minutes from a Wegmans.
And you have developments like all over the goddamn place around you. Like clearly land is worth money.
Yeah.
But you guys are still pretty secluded.
Yeah.
I mean, not secluded enough.
We got trees all around it. But this house is going to be like up on a hill.
Kind of, like a shining beacon. You can look down at everyone from.
We can look down and look down on everyone.
Everyone. Yeah. Is there anyone higher than you?
There is.
Oh.
There is, and I'm not really sure what to do about that.
Rocket launcher. Takes care of that problem.
I don't know that the house is as nice as the house that we bought, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all that matters.
But we will be sharing a driveway.
Oh, those sons of bitches.
No, this is good, though, because the guy that lives up on the top of the hill...
Okay.
And this is like one long driveway that serves three houses, and his is the topmost of the three.
He probably really wants to have the middle. A cloud.
He has his own plow service.
Ooh, he owns a plow
service. He owns a plow service. He does plowing.
You're
so, I mean, that how much more perfect can that be? In the morning when it snows, he has to get out. He has to plow the driveway to do anything.
Yeah. He almost can't leave without plowing.
He can't.
I mean, he could not put the plow down, but why would you do that?
And this is going uphill from the street.
Oh, man.
So even if it's really bad for some reason... I can just slide the car down in the morning and get to work.
But
getting back up might be an issue.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's, you know, the important thing is as a worker, as an employee,
getting to work,
getting back home is less important
to
the employer.
To the employer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you do work for the government. So really,
I do.
You really just getting to work is what matters.
That is exactly it. Although I do work for the school system so that, you know, if it is really bad, I can probably just stay home anyway.
So you work in a rural area.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the news story currently?
Which one is this? I might not know. I don't keep up on a lot of the current events.
School employee rural area. If that isn't triggering anything, you must not have heard about this.
I haven't heard about it then.
The tagline was something like...
Did somebody get shot again?
Oh, no. Oh, okay. The tagline was something
that's
like...
that's like that...
Two men are in jail, one cow is dead, and three cars have been destroyed.
Was this in Kentucky? What happened?
This was like Farmington.
Farming? That's very close to where I work.
I wasn't going to say that.
Okay.
So...
We didn't name where I work, but...
One of them was a school employee, and these two gentlemen...
Was somebody trying to have sex with a cow?
Not trying.
Oh, my gosh!
Oh, no, it gets better. It gets better. So the story is a farmer noticed his cows were acting really spooked all the time. So he set up a video
when
camera.
You approach them from behind.
So he set up a camera to figure out what the hell was going on. Long story short, two men were one was filming the other one having sexual relations with a cow. Wait for it. You ready? You ready for the kicker?
No, I'm not. I am not ready for this.
Covered in jello.
What? The cow or the guy?
The guy was covered. They were both, I believe, were covered in jello.
The cow and the guy.
No. Both the guys. The guy filming.
Both the guys.
It's cold out. But why not?
Wait, was this some sort of heating gel?
I think it was. The news said it was just jello.
That's if it's just jello, that's insane.
Yeah, it's not going to keep you
fucking
warm.
Crazy.
It's fucking crazy, and so it gets
if
even worse.
If it is like some sort of like
the heating gel,
I don't know.
It was like the chafing dish warmers, and they just lit it, and they're running around like flame.
Yeah, that would almost make more sense.
Well, they would get what they deserve. No, so the poor cow. I guess the news crew, the farmer, contacted news or something, so they showed up and caught them in the act. So the cameraman runs off, and then the cow got spooked for many reasons. Takes off and then gets killed and destroys three cars. Like three different cars hit it as it ran across the road.
Oh my god!
This poor cow literally got screwed to death.
Oh, that's sad.
I know, it's very sad.
And nobody's gonna want to eat it then.
No.
Yeah.
I know what's been in there.
Yeah.
Although it was surprisingly tender, I'd imagine.
Oh.
So, I can't believe you haven't heard about that. That's like everyone's favorite news story right now.
No, when did that...
Like, a couple days ago.
I totally missed out on that.
Yeah, look it up.
I don't need to now. I got the whole scoop.
Well, I may be horribly misphrasing it. But I know, like, for a fact, because I just watched this. Like, someone sent it to me yesterday at work. They're like, you need to watch this. And I'd already heard about it. But they were like, the one man could run because he was covered in jello. And they, like, were trying not to laugh.
I still don't get the jello thing. Was it some...
Maybe it's a genital jello?
I don't know.
It flows really nice.
Some sort of...
Just try saying that.
Bovine scent material so that the cow would hopefully be more receptive. I don't know.
Just say genital jello.
Genital jello.
It's really fun to say. Genital jello.
Genello?
That's going to be my new...
Gentello? Genitello?
Genitello. It's what juggalos wear when they're having sex. Well, I've just burned the bridge with our Juggalo segment of the audience.
Oh,
shit.
No. We're going to miss those guys.
Oh, there was a really funny video that someone did of the Juggalo dating service.
Okay.
It was really, it was just
You're just a font of news. I haven't heard about any of this
stuff.
No,
it's not real. It was just a gag video. But it was like a Juggalo, like J-date, but for Juggalos.
J-date for Juggalos.
And they had like old people, and she's like, the old woman was like, yeah, I knew he was the one when this guy was disrespecting me and he stomped him. And then the old man goes, yeah, he disrespected her. And I stomped him pretty hard. It's the way he delivers. It's amazing.
Oh man.
Juggalo dating service.
I get tons of email from stuff like that. Not obviously Juggalo. No, but like all the, you know, the people meet people and.
People.
No, I get email all the time from black people meet.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I'm not black. I'm not saying I wouldn't want to meet any.
We're
black
just a
people.
Voice to them. They don't know that.
Well, you do now. But I see the email at this blackpeoplemeet.com. Like, that could be almost, that's like one letter away from being
weirdly carnivorous.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Then there's old people meet too.
Old
right?
people meet, yeah. A little more stringy yep. and almost Tawny. Like jerky.
Yep. Yeah. Robert Redford.
Oh. Isn't he up for an Oscar?
Apparently that new movie, that sailboat movie he's in is... Oh! Guess what movie we watched last night?
You didn't watch the Lego movie, did you?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't think so.
I'm not going to see it without you. Jesus. Apparently it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, I really want to go see it.
One review is the best. It's like, finally, someone remembered how to make a comedy. It's like, oh, that's a good point.
I guess it's like kind of... I don't know if the whole thing's a musical, but... One of the songs in it.
Don't tell me. I hate musicals.
One of the songs in it is Everything is Awesome.
Oh, okay. Could deal with that.
I mean, come on. If you don't like a song called Everything is Awesome, then
there's no. The song's not awesome.
Oh, you're just. Did you play with Legos when you were a kid? You must have. Of course. Because you're a human and you are from America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Legos are the shit.
Yeah. I had Legos and I had Tenties. Have we talked about this before? I don't remember.
I still want to get back to movie watch last night.
T-E-N-T-E. I don't know if they make them anymore.
Is that like Kinex or Rector
Star? No, they were super, super, super similar to Legos.
Okay.
Almost exactly the same, but they were slightly different shapes.
Just enough to get around the copyright infringement.
Yeah, and they like the nubs or the knobs or whatever you want to call them. I'm sure there's a technical name for them.
Oh, it probably is.
But they had holes in them. So you could, like, put other things into those holes, like an antenna or something.
Okay.
They made great spaceships.
That was what I liked about Legos back in the day. They have these incredibly specific Lego sets now that are essentially models.
Yeah.
And, like, that totally ruins the joy of Legos for me, which is just building whatever the fuck my childhood imagination could come up with.
Yeah, I mean, you can still build... And you can still just get Legos, but...
No, I know, but there's, like, one set of just Legos, and then 50 million branded, you know, Star Wars and, I don't know, whatever Jurassic Park movie there is out, and fucking Lord of the Rings.
So, I don't know about you. I was a nerdy kid, and...
Really?
Yeah, I know, shock.
Really?
I made almost exclusively spaceships, sure. Science fiction-oriented vehicles, some sort of, like, hover tanks, things like that.
And you probably, like, actually spent time coming up with the pseudoscience behind it.
I was like, okay, this part's going to be the engine.
The hover pad. I mean, I don't need to explain it. It's a hover pad, right? It hovers. It's a pad. Exactly. Whatever's on it is not in the ground.
Exactly. What kind of stuff did you make?
I think I did a lot of castle stuff. Medieval-y stuff.
That's still cool.
Like,
that's,
I like building walls and obstructions that, like, my action figures would get around and that kind of thing. I have on my phone... Oh, wait, they took my phone away because we upgraded at work. There is I don't know if... It's a really expensive, like, custom-made Lego set that's all zombie-themed.
What?
But, like, someone made a stop-motion zombie movie with the Legos.
Oh,
it's pretty cool. But they're, like, $5 a little figure. And I'm like, what?
For a zombie...
Yeah, one.
Lego man?
It's crazy expensive. Because they're, like, custom-painted or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Tenties. Now, we had my mom got on this weird kick from my brothers years after the fact, and she's like, you need to have an Erector set. My brother's like, what's
an Erector set? I had an Erector set. I was not, I don't know, I wasn't...
Yeah, but you had an Erector set when that was a thing. They had an Erector set 20 years after it was a thing. And they, like, never touched it. They're like, I need to use a wrench to build something?
I know.
How do I do that?
It is a little off-putting, especially when you got the Legos right next to it.
A little bit of pressure, and they sandwiched a wrench. Although, the Mindstorm or whatever, like, the weird, like, you can computer program Lego.
Yeah, that's
NXT,
pretty cool.
That shit's crazy.
I had, like, the very primitive version of that.
Okay.
Which was, like,
a motor.
There was, like, one big block with a motor in it.
Yeah, I had that,
and
too.
A remote control switch. Mm-hmm.
It would just wind.
It was wired. I mean, it wasn't, like true remote control. It was wired.
That was true remote control at the
time. We had those, like... The wired remote controlled cars, like, all over the place when we were kids.
So they could, like, either ran along
thing.
With them, or
they had
a very small radius. Like,
yeah.
Did you do the thing where you just make them go in a circle around you and then just turn with it?
Yeah.
So you didn't have to move very much, but you could get them to not have to stop?
Yeah. Or I think one of the first ones I had that was, like, truly wireless remote control, it would do two things. It would go forward, and then it would back up and turn to the left. That was it.
So you couldn't turn
forward
to the right ever.
Or back into the left. Like, just like JFK. I know, JFK.
Forward, back to the
but
left.
But if you did that enough times, you could maneuver it where you wanted to go.
I'm just imagining...
But I mean, if that would be, you're actually driving this car. Everything's a K-turn. Oh, my God.
Why are these roads not straight? It takes you 20
you'd
minutes.
Never be able to get... You'd have to, like, go through a roundabout backwards.
There's a Native American movie, Smoke Signals, where they had a car that only worked in reverse. So these two women owned it. So they just were everybody's driving backwards, like for hundreds of miles backwards. I'm just imagining a remote, like the early wireless remote control that had really bad range. It's like,
yeah,
it just stops like 10 feet away from you. Like,
Oh, if you were lucky.
And they had the little dangly. Remember the dangly metal antenna?
Yeah,
with
yeah.
The spring.
More likely, would just like keep going. That was the more. They weren't smart enough to figure out. Oh, we should make it stop if it gets out of range. It was like if it gets too far, it's just gone.
It's gone. Sentient.
It's on its own. It's on its own now.
It's become its own self fulfilling prophecy.
The Spider-Man buggy has a life of its own.
Moon Patrol.
Why does Spider-Man need a buggy?
Why did the Teenage Mutant Turtles need a blimp?
Well, who doesn't need a blimp?
No. Why did they need a... Why, any hero that doesn't need whatever they sell for it, toy-wise, why would the subterranean ninjas need a fucking
blimp?
They gotta
get out sometime.
They had a van that shot pizzas.
They get a blimp, though. It's more environmentally friendly?
That wasn't a thing back then.
Well, they were ahead of their time, apparently. But come on, Spider-Man in a buggy.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Because he can sling around faster than anybody can drive.
There was
in
an
New
issue.
York.
There was an issue where he followed a criminal out to the suburbs and he was completely screwed. So actually, the spider buggy would have been handy in that situation.
Okay, okay. Point taken.
And if anyone listening to this can identify the issue that I'm talking about, I'd be very impressed because I don't remember. But he totally was like, he rode the train out there, like on top of the train, following the guy. And he's like, oh man, what do I do now? He has to take his costume off and walk around like
that. Yeah, and hope that the guy doesn't, you know... Take a route that doesn't go parallel to the train, because then you're totally boned.
He was on the train.
Yeah, the guy he was chasing was on the train.
Yeah, he like stole a purse. Okay. He stole a purse and then got on like the Metro North. In retrospect, it didn't make a lot of sense. So the movie we watched last night.
All right, I give up. What was it?
You only tried once, and it was a movie we watched here, so it could not have been the Lego movie.
Was it something I wanted to see?
It's something you'll be excited that we watched.
Was it Looking for Richard?
No.
No.
Although, in that vein...
Uh-huh. Oh, was it one of the Much Ado About Nothing?
No, but we do still need to see that. Good, it's a good guess.
Okay.
You're still in the same vein. Think You and I.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Wow.
We watched Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead last night.
I don't know if I've actually seen the... I know I've seen parts of the film, and I've either seen or read the play, but it's a pretty good one. It's Tom Stoppard. Who's a big Shakespeare fan?
Love Stoppard,
obviously. Yeah,
love Stoppard. I mean, he wrote Shakespeare. I had seen a part of this movie when I was like a preteen.
Mm-hmm.
Like I also read the Inferno when I was a preteen because I thought like, oh, I'm smart, I can figure this shit out. Not realizing like, oh, I'm not getting half of the subtext or whatever to this. So like, I watched Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. And saw the absurdist element and thought, like, oh, they must be dead. Like, it must be the afterlife. So I've had this in my head for, like, 12 years, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
And finally watching them last night, and I'm like, oh, no, they're just in the play, and they don't realize, and they're interchangeable. Okay, now I get it. Like, I totally didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, I was actually, when I was in college, I was in a production of Hamlet. I played the Gravedigger.
Yes, you told me this.
Which was a tremendously fun part.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fun.
I could see you in that.
I was not happy with Billy Crystal's portrayal in the movie version that he was in.
Was that not the Mel Gibson one?
No, that was the
Brana?
Yeah, the Brana one. Yeah.
Brana. I don't even know how to say it.
Brana.
It's funny that Sir Jorah Mormont from Game of Thrones played Hamlet in this. He had a much higher voice too, it was weird.
Oh, okay. I don't watch
Game of Thrones. No, I know. But he's like a badass older dude with a gravelly voice.
But I was in the Hamlet, and I was also in like this like whatever senior seminar class at the same time. We were studying revenge tragedies, and of course Hamlet was like the main work that we were reading.
Sure.
And the professor that was teaching the class was also directing Hamlet. So I was like, I was
you were living.
I was living in Hamlet, living, eating, breathing, whatever. So yeah, and. You know what movie is based on Hamlet that a lot of people don't realize. I'll just tell you.
Yeah.
Strange Brew.
Really?
Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Wow.
It is all, it's entirely Hamlet.
I didn't know.
And they are the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern characters.
Oh, so it's another interpretation of, like, the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern side story.
Yeah.
From their point of view.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's cool. So if you go back, it holds up really well, because you're like, oh, wow, this is all Hamlet.
Huh.
I mean, it's Elsinore Brewery.
Oh, yeah.
It's it's pretty obvious once you realize it.
Was that pre-Stoppard's play?
I think so.
Oh, wow.
Probably.
He got the idea from Strange Brew.
Yeah.
But no, it was very. I love Gary Oldman's top three. Like,
yeah, was Richard Dreyfuss though?
Yeah, he was the head tragedian. I don't know how to say that.
The first actor.
Yeah, but they were called tragedians.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know how you pronounce that. Mm-hmm. And then Tim Roth, remember him?
The player. Was that Tim Roth?
I don't know. Was it Four Rooms? Reservoir Dogs. He's really popular in, like, the 90s.
Yeah.
British guy. Anyway, he was the other...
I'm thinking of someone else. Who was the player?
Oh, Tim... Not Curry. Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins! That's it.
Yes. No.
It's close.
Very different. Very similar name. Very different actor. Yeah, so it was Gary Oldman and Tim Roth. As Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. I just got such a kick out of, like, they didn't even know which one they were. It was just,
oh, yeah.
And the text is always, like, play sheets constantly in the scenes. Like, and Gary Oldman's the only one who ever notices. But he never does anything about it. Except he, like, interacts with them but not realizing. It was like, really fun meta. Kind of. And then the scene changes. Like, they were just as confused as the audience about why the scene would change.
Uh-huh.
So, like, Hamlet is talking to them, and he slices a chandelier down just to scare them. And then suddenly they're in the same room, but the chandelier is back up, and it's fully lit. It was like a dirty room. And they're just like... it was very fun. But now I was like, oh, I could see why Smike said we should do this play.
Yeah, wouldn't that be... I think that would be a fun...
I think it'd be really fun, yeah.
But then you're in the position of doing a show that you've seen the movie on, and that's like... That always makes things weird. Seen something done really well.
Yeah,
and then you're trying to do the same.
Well, I was watching it like I feel like I could do this pretty differently.
Okay.
I was actually thinking that while I was watching it. It's the first time I've had even thought about doing a play in I don't know how long. So. But obviously, it's gonna have to wait a while because as we squash the rumors, I am a father.
So. Yes. That's what we're telling you.
Anyway. He's your kid. So what games are you playing these days?
Oh man, I've been doing tablet stuff.
Yeah, it takes over your life once you get a tablet.
Once you get a good tablet.
Once you get a tablet you like.
Because I had a crap tablet for a while. It was like a Lenovo K1.
Oh yeah.
Which was like Tegra, like Tegra 1 or 2 or something.
Oh.
It was awful. But I got a Kindle HDX 8.9. It is a sweet little piece of hardware.
I know, you've been picking fights with my iPad constantly.
iPad is great in its own right. But it's like, the Kindle is better than it has any right to be, because it's a Kindle. You're thinking, right. Oh, this is something that Amazon just throws out so people can read books on it. But it's like a ridiculously overpowered little piece of hardware.
But you have the ad one, so like they make you watch ads?
No, it's just the lock screen.
Okay.
When you know,
can you upgrade that if you like decide?
You can pay, it's like a $15 discount, so if you pay an extra $15, which would be technically the full price, right. Then they take that off.
Okay.
But no, it's a great little thing. I've been playing this game called what is it? It's like Edrian or something. Edrian? Arena or Erdian Arena.
Oh, I don't know.
It's this one versus one player game, which like put me off initially.
PvP?
Yeah, PvP.
Okay.
With the first time I looked at it, I was like, what, can I just play a tutorial? Can I just please figure out what the hell I'm doing before you throw me in
against
all these like 8-year-olds who are going to just stomp my head in? But it was actually a pretty easy game to pick up. It's more like a almost like a board or a card game, really.
Oh, okay.
You have a team of five cards. Each card is its own character.
Okay.
And they have, like, these special moves and how much strength they have and how hard they hit and all this stuff on them.
Mm.
And then you roll these six dice. And based on what the dice come up as, see if you can match the dice to their abilities.
Then you get to use the
ability. So, like, one thing is, like, if you get two red dice faces, then you throw a fireball.
Okay.
So, like, I want to try to get two red dice.
Can you change the dice loadout, or is it all the same dice?
It's all the same dice. Everybody gets the same dice. Okay. But just the different ones, like, you get a blue and a yellow for this one character, and he gets a shield.
So is there strategy, or is everything...
Yeah, there's definitely some strategy. You get, but it's a lot of fun if you're into that sort of game. If you're into, like, cards and dice sort of stuff.
Cards and dice. Story of our life.
Yeah.
Lives.
And then it gets really addictive because...
You level something
up. Of course, your cards level up.
Of course. That's all you need.
Yeah. And, of course...
Now, there's more?
You get more cards. Every time after a game, either win or lose, you get, like, a random prize.
Ooh. You get a better prize if you win? Or is it
not that I can tell.
Oh. So you could suck balls and still end up
winning. Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of...
Democratic. It could be like some currency that you can use to buy characters with, or it could be a new character, or it could be a level up to one of your existing characters. So you can see how this kind of gets its hooks into you.
I can see how this gets its hooks into you.
Yes.
In particular.
Yes. It's a fun game.
Sounds fun. Are you going to play Hearthstone or what the other one is?
What's that?
The upgradable card battle games are becoming really popular.
Pathfinder?
No. There's a online one. No, Pathfinder's great. It's Descent with cards. No, it's like an online Steam game. Or it's World of Warcraft based, but there's another one too that's coming out. There's all these games that are like, you can put gem slots in the cards, and so you're trying to swap out gems, and it's all upgrading. And RPG elements to any game instantly fucking...
It's crack.
It is. We're wired that way. They're doing it in the corporate world, the whole gamifications thing. That's what it's about. Badging.
It's also psychology. I mean, they're fine tuning this, and this should terrify everyone.
Oh yeah,
they're fine tuning all this, and I really want to see that new show with
Oh yeah.
Oh, who's in that?
Yeah, it's got someone I really like, Steve Zahn, and the brother is Christian Slater.
Christian Slater, right. Mind Games, I think.
Yeah, the premise looked really interesting.
Yeah, it's that whole premise of like. If you understand psychology and how people think and what they react to, you can, like, set things up and pretty much predict how mind. People are going to... Yeah.
So, it's Inception meets The Game with Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Or really just The Game with Michael Douglas.
Okay.
Which was an amazing movie, I thought. But I saw it when I was younger. Yeah, RPG elements, man.
But that's... I mean, that's the same thing. They're like... They figured out what people respond to, and they... The games are just calculated to make you buy things.
Right, when you mix that with microtransactions, that's when it turns evil.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a problem with a game that, like, you buy and it's, like, really addicting. And it's like, okay, either you can resist playing it and, you know, or fail out of school.
And so far, I haven't put any money into that game I mentioned.
But the fact you have to say that inherently makes me like...
I could. I'm sure. Spending a good chunk of money.
Well, look at League of Legends.
Yeah.
The economy in that game, like the amount of money that they've made is ridiculous, but nothing that you buy makes your character any better. It's all cosmetic. They just come up with really kooky fucking skins, and they've made a fortune on it.
Hmm.
Like, insane. But that's why, I don't know, Lords of Waterdeep is the board game iPad app that I've been playing, but okay. I've kind of got it mastered now, like even on hard.
So you don't want to play against anyone? Because you'll just destroy any
I think, players. Unlike Ascension, where I just learned how the game played, like the AI played, like this, it's you would like it because you literally are looking... So you only have 8 rounds to do as many quests as you can and build the buildings you want and everything. But, like, you're looking from round 1, you're already trying to figure out what you're going to do for the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike Ascension, you can stick to one thing and it'll usually work.
So it's kind of like Puzzle Fighter in that, or Puzzle Strike in that sense.
Puzzle Strike still has a lot more randomness to it. This is...
Puzzle Strike has randomness, and we really like Puzzle Strike.
We love Puzzle Strike, but there's no element of you don't know what you're going to get in your hand. There's no hand. Okay. It's I that quest looks good to me. I'm going to purchase that quest. I'm now going to focus on getting all the elements with my agents that I need to do that quest. I completed that quest. I did that quest because it gave me this thing, which now stacks onto the next quest I'm going to do. So everyone can pursue their own strategy, and they're all equally viable.
So there's not a random element in it.
Well, the only random element is there's only one slot in each space, and once someone's in it, they're the only ones who can get that for that turn. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, do I weigh? It's more about weighing, I guess, than randomness. It's do I go for this thing first, which is
I need more? So there's no rolling dice or drawing cards or anything.
It's different because everything we play has an element of randomness to it, but this is very strategic, which I think you'd like because you're always like, I'm going to set up my strategy and go with it.
Yeah, but that's...
But we have a high tolerance now, or a low tolerance for like singular playstyle games. You know what I mean?
Because not everybody that we game with is going to... like that level of
strategy,
of pure strategy.
And I know we're thinking of the same people, so
yeah, well, that's fine.
It is. It's not a game for everyone, but I've thoroughly enjoyed it. But I've gotten to the point where like I can put four AI players in, put them up to the hardest difficulty, and I still beat them. And I'm like, oh, okay. But in a completely different thing, I feel like shit today.
Uh oh,
like horribly guilty because of a game I'm playing.
Because of a game you're playing.
Yeah, now think about that. Like, something I did in the game that I had no choice, I had to do in the game, made me feel like a fucking horrible person.
This is a game you were playing against actual people.
No. This is a one-player game. This is a one-player game. No, not a tablet game. This is on the PS3.
Oh.
Okay,
so... you're playing one of these psychological games.
No. Well, no? Kind of. All right, so you know
Like Shadow of the Colossus sort of
thing. Nope. Military shooter. That's what's so brilliant about this.
Oh, okay.
So I've been hearing about this game called Spec Ops: The Line.
Mm-hmm.
And Spec Ops has been a long-running series that kind of sucks. It's like the bargain bin game. Like, oh, it's kind of squad tactical shooter, which I hate. So I totally got burned out on Call of Duty and all those games. Like, I'm so sick of the, super realistic looking, everything set in the Midwest, or the Middle East. Midwest. Everything set in the Middle East and you're killing brown people. Or people with, turbans. That's the game. That's all the games now.
They do that in the Midwest sometimes.
Actually, it is. You're probably usually playing Midwesterners in the game. And we've lost our Midwest.
I grew up in the Midwest. I'm allowed to talk about it and make fun of it.
But I've been hearing about this game for a while because it is a very close adaptation of Heart of Darkness.
Yeah, the novel.
The novel.
Classic novel.
Yes. Not the documentary. But I have seen Apocalypse Now. So I was like, I'm really curious about this because I heard it really gets into your head.
Right.
And I was like, I've played games that get into your head. Like The Last of Us, I won't give it away, but the ending is incredible for the way it fucks with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like just incredible because it's just the way things play out. You're like, I would never, ever have done this, but I see how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Eternal Darkness, you ever play that on the GameCube?
No.
That's the most famous, like that is a straight up psychological experiment. No, that's the one where you have an insanity meter. Okay. And it's, like, very Lovecraftian. And the more your character loses sanity, of, like, 120 different game effects can happen.
Yeah, I remember, like, looking for that when I got the Wii to try to
it was
play that.
Like,
it was hard to find.
It was hard to find. It wasn't around a while, and it was very adult for the Wii. Or not the Wii, the GameCube.
Both for either one, honestly.
Oh, was it on... They re-released it on the Wii?
No, but you could play GameCube games.
Oh, right. Yeah. That was famous because if you really lost your sanity in the game, it would look like the game froze. And you lost your save. And it would fuck with you. And if you didn't know it was going to do that, then you'd actually turn the system off and lose the save. It was totally messing with you. But no, this game is straight up like, I'm really, really impressed with it. So it's very well done. It's set in Dubai. And Dubai's been destroyed by this mega sandstorm. And so that's the setting of, so the 33rd platoon went in to rescue people and then no one came out. So you're like a small little three-man squad who goes in to try to figure out what happened. And then you basically experience Heart of Darkness, where the colonel was, gone apeshit. But, I've played all these military shooters where you just kill everyone, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, no consequence. You're supposed to.
Right.
And really early on in the game, like, you start, the main character starts to piece together, it's like a third person, he starts to piece together, like, I think not everyone we're killing is actually bad, but we keep walking into firefights, and, like, they're all trying to kill us, so we just have to fight back. But no, like there's so many factions because there's so many splinters. So there's the survivors of the storm, the actual like Dubai inhabitants. There's the CIA, and then there's multiple factions within the 33rd platoon. So like you find intelligence. So the main character goes and says like I'm going to keep this to myself because I don't want to make my two men lose morale who are with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm playing, and like, you know,
are you giving stuff away here?
Well, I'm gonna try to go about it in a way that isn't.
Okay.
Some shit goes down, and you're like, I'm pretty sure the people we were just shooting at were actually trying to help, but there's no way to know, and they were trying to kill us. Like, it really starts to get into your head as the player. You're like, And then I got to this scene, which like straight up classic like heavy armament scene where you just like totally fucking steamroll through with like some really advanced weaponry that they make a big deal of pointing out as a really shitty form of weapon. And if anyone's played it, but I mean, so I'm not going to say. Long story short, you didn't just kill the wrong people; you wiped out a shit ton of civilians in one of the most horrific ways to die possible. And it is one of the most gut-wrenchingly guilt-trip things I've ever seen in a game. Because, like, you just... Ooh. You knew you're not doing something right, and your men are telling you you're not doing something right, and clearly your character's going a little over the edge, but then when you literally are faced with what you've done. Like, you're looking at these horrible corpses that have just died horribly, and they were trying to, like, avoid the fight, and they're completely innocent, and you're just like... and you just can see your character losing his mind.
But you can't, like, go back and...
No, there's no way to not. There's no way to not do it. And I mean, that's
like,
the thing.
Like killing Eris.
Right, exactly. There's like, there's no way to save Eris in Final Fantasy VII. It's been on my mind ever since I played that this afternoon. I'm like, Jesus, like, it's about time a game really actually made you feel like, oh, should I have killed that person? You know? Games just don't, even games that try to do that, I don't feel like do it very well. But there's a level of sophistication. And granted, the source material is rich and it's not hard when you borrow from that to do it. But they still did it really well.
Well, I would say, I haven't played this, obviously, but you certainly get that sort of feeling, maybe not the same degree with Shadow of the Colossus.
Yes.
And that's the same thing. It's like, as you're going through it, you're like, that last monster was a beautiful creature, and
that,
I just
that was just
it.
Minding its own yeah. business, and I like, stabbed it a bunch of times. And then some weird bad stuff seemed to happen when I killed it.
Yeah.
I released something. Imagine that feeling... And then, like, heighten it by an order of magnitude. Like, imagine you now are, instead of looking at that, let's say you stabbed it and then it melted away to a mother holding a child that you've burned to a crisp, and you can see that the last dying moment, the mother was covering the child's face. Because that's what I saw this afternoon.
Aww.
And I'm like, so fucking like, ah.
Do you need a hug, Mike?
No, because then it'll just remind me what happened in the game. But my hat's off to that game, because...
Yeah, it certainly made an impression on you.
It really did, and I'm, like, halfway through it, which kind of terrifies me.
Yeah. I've also been not just gaming, but trying to go through some more comics that I've got.
Oh, by the way, thank you.
Did you finally hook that up?
Yep.
Did you finish...
No, I had to figure out where I was.
The Boys?
So I only had, like, 12 issues left, but I started down.
Make sure you read the miniseries in order.
Well, I've already read Highland Laddie. I think I've read both of them already.
There's three of them.
Oh.
There's Herogasm.
Oh, yeah. No, I've read all three.
Then Highland Laddie, and then Butcher Baker.
That's the story you find out Butcher's backstory.
Yes.
Yeah, I've read all three.
Okay.
Yeah. Herogasm was hilariously horrific. Why don't we get into what you just pantomimed? Yeah, that... Garth Ennis, like, when Garth Ennis took over for Constantine, I was telling you, for Hellblazer.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, it was always kind of a fucked up comic, but it just took this, like, very sudden bent to, like, what? Like, crazy violence! And then we went back to normal when another writer came in.
Yeah, Garth Ennis is the writer for this comic series that we've both been reading called The Boys. It's an excellent series. And a bit about Garth Ennis, he doesn't like... superhero comics. He really doesn't
like superheroes.
This is not a thing where he's making fun of something that he really loves.
No,
he's just shredding it.
Oh yeah, but and he's shredding it in very what the specific superheroes he's shredding is very obvious and really rough. Like with the X-Men.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh.
But you're totally like, yeah, I can in a real world like.
Yeah, it's dark, but it's funny.
It's
very
dark and very funny.
It's kind of like if Watchmen were done as a dark comedy.
Really dark.
A really dark comedy.
Yeah.
And then I was reading one of the interviews with him, and they were like saying, oh, well, does it make it hard to read when like some of the comics are getting more edgier and like something that you're writing about has actually... happened in one of the other comic series. And he's like, no, I never read any of that stuff.
I hate that shit. You don't really need to read them to know about the characters at this point. It's so in the public consciousness. I mean, Jesus, do you hear what Phase 3 of the Marvel movies is launching with?
No.
Ant-Man. Paul Rudd is playing Ant-Man. And then they're doing Doctor Strange. That might actually... Oh, no, it's going to be funny. But yeah. I'm saying, like, they're really delving into the not X-Men, Superman, Batman, Avengers canon.
Yes.
Like, they're digging deep now. So, although Ant-Man, I think, was in Avengers, but...
Yeah, I think he was one of the original ones.
Yeah. There's two of them. And someone else is playing the original. Someone else funny is playing the original Ant-Man. They're both in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I don't remember. I can't think of that now. But it's somebody good.
Somebody good. It's got a great cast. Paul Rudd's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. He's got a stage background.
And then Guardians of the
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Galaxy's coming out soon?
Okay.
Or is that next year? I think it's next
I don't know.
Year.
They just rolled out their trailer. So
trailer looks good.
It looks great. Guardians of the Galaxy has been around a while, right? It's a comic?
Yes.
Okay. Did you notice how similar Farscape seems to... Like, trope for trope, similar to Guardians of the Galaxy?
It does. It does. And I didn't really, you know, I never, didn't notice it before, but now that I've seen, like, I've never read any Guardians of the Galaxy.
I haven't either.
I have to admit.
So I was thinking Farscape came first, but then I looked at the years, I'm like, I think this is
pretty
really,
sure. I think that
really borrowed heavily in, like, how Mass Effect borrowed heavily from Babylon 5. Like, it's really obvious. Really obvious. Oh, funny story. So, there's a guy at the beginning of the road, the loop you guys don't use, although I think you might have today, the leftmost loop from warehouses. He owns a landscaping company, has a Land Rover. So okay. I keep noticing that the license plate is CRBRUS1. And I'm like, that's got to be Cerberus 1.
The
bad guy Mass Effect is Cerberus, and there's like they use their vehicles and that kind of stuff. So I was like, I'm so like the geek in me wants so badly to ask him. So I was driving in today because I was off today.
Uh-huh.
I ran some errands, so I was coming home and he was perfect. Like he was leaning into his car, parked, like clearly at ease. His kids weren't around.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. So I like threw my car in reverse, went back. I was like, hey, can I ask you about your license plate? And he goes, yeah. And he got all excited. And I was like, oh, I got a good feeling about this. And I said, is that Cerberus 1? And he goes, yes, it is. And I said, is that a Mass Effect reference? And he goes, no, it's the mythical creature. I was like, oh, okay. That's cool.
It's still cool.
It's still cool. And then he goes, but he was really cool about it. He goes, thank you, because everyone always asks me what, like, Crazy Bus is. And I'm like, no, it's clearly Cerberus. He goes, I know. And then he goes, and some tool in New York City has the actual word Cerberus.
Oh.
I was like, yeah, it's always just New York City, guys.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, sorry, I just thought it might have been a video game reference. It's like, no. Because it's a Land Rover, and there's like a flying, like, all-terrain ship thing that Cerberus gives you. And I was like, oh, that would have been amazing. We still had a moment.
You had a moment. It wasn't... On the level, it wasn't like a level 3 moment. It was like a level 1.
It's a level 1 moment.
Okay.
Speaking of level 3 moments, someone posted on my Facebook page that there is a 1 of 600. It's only making 600 of these lambskin Italian leather Mass Effect jacket.
Okay. When you started with the word lambskin, I was really worried where that was going to go.
There's a Mass Effect condom. It's hypoallergenic. Just hear me out. But it's like a gorgeous replica of the coat from the game. Even though I hate how that series ended, I still love Kitsch from it. It's so weird. I have an N7 bumper sticker. And you would probably really like that
game. Where should I stop in it? Should I go all the way through?
Play the first game.
Play it? Or just the first one and just stop?
So BioWare has this tendency, and I'm an early geek out. So they've done this like with Dragon Age 2. So they'll make a hardcore action RPG with like deep menu systems and tons of customizability and a great story that branches. That's their signature. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm totally into this. And then they have this thing where their marketing people step in on the second game. They're like, well, that first game was really popular, so let's strip out everything that made it unique and let's make it an action game. They've done it twice.
Yeah.
So Mass Effect 1 is Babylon 5, but with a more epic story. Believe it or not, more epic story.
That is hard to believe.
I know. Well, because Babylon 5 epiced out about halfway through, and then they were like, we're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
It was pretty lame. They're like, oh, he's going to disappear into the future.
Yeah.
No, I just gave it away. Too bad. Yeah, stop
watching. That happens, like, early on.
Just stop watching after the Shadow War ends. And I mean, like, you're like, in the middle of a fight, you're like, I'm going to rebuild my gun. Like, if I spent 10 minutes rebuilding my gun right now, I would own this fight. And you're like, do-do-do-do. You know, like, that hardcore. And then I'll level up, and I'll get this new psionic ability. Because it's, like, psionics and it's cybernetics and all this shit. And then two is, like, corridor fighting. And then three, they were like, okay, we need to try to get back there. But then they had set up such an epic plot, and they didn't tie it up to anyone's liking. And then they tried to fix it with a backhanded apology that actually just made it worse. But if you play the first game, it's a standalone. And it's, like, really good. I think.
All right.
I might even have it, but it's on 360.
I can probably get it for, like, $5 on Steam.
Oh, yeah, Steam. I'd really recommend. I mean, you could fall down a hole on that one, because there's so much you can customize.
I got so much stuff
to do. Oh, and you can have sex in it. That's another BioWare thing. They just throw one sex in. Like, everyone's like, oh, who'd you have sex with? Because it's always the question. Did you turn out to be gay? Which one of the chicks did you bang? It's like the question everyone has.
But you can play the main character as a woman, right?
Yep. So you can make her a lesbian, or you
see, now I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Be a chick Commander Shepard. Do it.
All right. And I guess back to board games, we should throw a mention to Pathfinder.
Yeah. The card game. Really digging that.
Based on the like the Dungeons and Dragons sort of RPG.
It feels like Descent.
Yes.
But with cards instead of, like, boards and movement.
You say Descent, which is Descent Second Edition, which is a...
also game also heavily based game on Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
But that has that tabletop element where, like, you're moving by grids and you have, like, yes, the interchangeable pieces that make different level layouts.
Whereas as the Pathfinders, you're just going with cards and dice.
Yeah. But I like how the hand is your life, too. So, like, yeah, you can't cycle through your cards too much.
Right.
So you have to make sure the deck you're building, like, is really good, or else you're going to not get what you need until you're almost dead.
But the thing that really sells the game is making your character stronger and leveling up the character.
I love that your wife is playing that chick barbarian, and I'm serious, she needs a golf cart to carry all the fucking weapons she has. I look at my hand, and I'm like, okay, I have two, like, you know, nuclear powerful spells. I can heal. I have, like, some bracers of protection. I got a potion. I look at her. It's just like, sword, bastard sword, long sword, long sword, plus one, bastard long sword. I don't know what that is.
And then she's got the book.
And we all imagine her just throwing it, like, plus one damage. And she's like, oh, I can crack this with my codex. We're like, how does that make sense? You're a fucking barbarian. You know how much she cut herself getting to the book? She'd be like ribbons.
So that's a fun game. The Boys is a great comic book series.
Great comic book series.
Also, I just started reading I read the first Lock and Key.
Thank which you is for really getting good. Those because I'm really excited to read it.
Yeah,
I've been hearing about that for a while.
Yeah.
So that's all. I mean, I downloaded some other one-offs, but those are the two things: Boys and Lock and Key, are the things I'm excited about from your account.
I hear the Lego movie's great.
Yeah.
Someday we'll see it.
We could wait and watch in 3D.
We could. Probably will.
If you kind of see it without us, we have a kid. We understand. We can't go.
Yeah. The baby is great.
Baby's awesome.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
The house we think is going to be pretty nice.
It's a badass looking house.
Pretty sweet. Sweet digs.
Sweet digs. And you're still not that far from us.
Yeah.
So podcasting will not be difficult.
Yeah, I think Waze is full of crap. It's actually less than 10 minutes from here.
From our house? Or
yeah,
house?
From your house. From your house.
Yeah, I think I looked up. It was 8 minutes. Yeah. I think Waze is just full of crap.
Sometimes Waze is full of crap.
I was really excited. You guys sold me on it with the, again, RPG elements of it.
I know.
And I was using it. I was like, I'm not going to drive out of my way to get that thing, so...
But you kind of want to.
No.
You kind of
want to. No, because I'm cheap, and like I try to get 2 tanks of gas in the month, and I'm like, no.
But it occurs to you that you could.
It occurred to me that it wants me to, and that made me angry. And then also it didn't work one day. I'm like, fuck this. Why did I get this mount for my phone? I don't need GPS. I use it anyway.
Any other products out there that we should plug?
I could plug a whole bunch of baby products, but I'll spare you.
All right. What's your top baby product?
The Kiko stroller system is fucking awesome.
The Kiko stroller.
Yeah, it looks like it's pronounced Chico, C-H-I-C-C-O.
Oh, really? That's Kiko.
Okay. It's Italian, I guess, Kiko. But yeah, like, so we have yet to use the main stroller, like the giant stroller, because we have the more portable one that we got.
All right.
And
is this the one that, like, the seat snaps into the
stroller? Yeah, so we have a base.
Snaps into the car.
Exactly. So we have a base in each of our cars. So all you're doing is taking him, click, Zen. And then, so, like, we keep the travel one in my wife's SUV, because we're in that more with him.
Yeah.
And, like, so you get out, you unclick them, and it's all, like, gadgety. So, like, you take the stroller out, and you pull a handle, and it just unfolds. And it's a full-size stroller already. Mm-hmm. And you click them in, bang, done. You got a tray, and it weighs next to nothing. And then you collapse it, and you put it back in the car. Click. It's great.
It's like Transformers or...
It is.
Legos or something.
It is a giant toy.
Nice.
But they're stupid expensive. Like, to get the whole system, it's, I don't know, the base set for the main stroller, the car seat, and one base is like $350. Which is why having a lot of friends and family and lots of baby showers is awesome, because people can get together.
Still sounds like it's worth it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now it is. And I was totally anti, like, when I lived in Park Slope, Park Stroller Slope.
Yes.
The Stroller Mafia.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah. But that was, the joke was that all the yuppies had moved to Park Slope. So the stroller mafia had taken over the neighborhood. I would be like, why would anyone spend that much on a stroller? It's so stupid. Now I totally get it. Like, the thing turns on a dime, and it has all the brakes on it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Look at the suspension on this thing. I'm going to put spinners on it.
Don't put spinners
on it. I'm not going to put spinners on it. I lied. That's all I got to plug.
That's all I got.
Well.
Except for the shandy did not go down well.
Don't buy pre-made shandies.
No.
I've yet
Although your wife liked it. But her taste buds could be completely out of
whack. She hasn't had alcohol in... She's had, like, collectively, like, one glass of wine in the last...
Yeah.
12 months.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that tiny bit she poured probably didn't... Because it builds up... It's like sugary. It builds up in the back of your throat.
Yeah.
Like a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's, like, very cloying.
That's a malt liquor, though. You can't... That's
no, but but that's not what... The cloying syrupy thing.
Okay.
That's independent of the malt aspect of it, but it builds up in the back of your throat. It's really gross.
Really gross.
Really gross.
Like baby poop.
Or like cooking with one hand up in your hernia.
Yeah.
Way to tie it back together.
Nice. Scene?
Scene!